السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. وقال تعالى في مكان آخر: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء اکرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters who may be listening over the streaming. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us here tonight. And we make shukr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted us to sit in a gathering wherein the talks of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will take place. And this indeed is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the very same breath, we should never look down upon those who may not have participated in this gathering. First of all, this gathering is not faraz, wajib, sunnat. But because it is associated to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the birth and the death of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place in the month of Rabiul Awwal. And therefore, emphasis is laid on the seerah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, tonight generally in many masajid, people gather and talks are given revolving around the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So perhaps a person may have had some commitment, some work, some important khidmah that he may have had to do at home. Perhaps he's got old parents, his wife may be sickly, children may be sickly. Perhaps he may have gone to attend to them. So never look down upon anybody who perhaps may not be participating in a particular program. Or for that matter, if a person is involved in some work of deen, a person is involved in serving the masjid, is involved in the work of da'wat and tabligh, he is close to the mashayikh and he attends the majalis and the gatherings. Now he sees another brother, another musalli, not participating in that gathering. So never ever look down upon the next person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, ظُنُّوا بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ خَيْرًا, that always harbor good opinions with regards to believers. Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, he repeatedly gives this example of a certain great Shaykh who had many followers. And one emphasis that the Shaykh would always stress on is that always, no matter what, have a good opinion with regards to the next person. Find an excuse, make some good opinion. So once whilst walking along the beach, they noticed that a person was lying on the lap of another woman and he was not dressed appropriately. The woman also was not dressed appropriately. And in the hand of this woman was a bottle of wine. So now, looking at this scenario, the followers went to the Shaykh and said, Hazrat, now it is absolutely clear, you can see this obscenity, most probably zina has taken place here, you can see the wine is present there. So most probably these people are, now how are we going to have good opinions with regards to these people? So the Shaykh says, no, still you should have good opinions with regards to these individuals. So he sends somebody to go and find out what has gone wrong, what has happened, who are these people. So when they went, so this woman turned out to be an elderly lady. She said, this is my son. He is now very, very sick. We've fallen out from a ship, managed to hold on to some log, and we were washed ashore. And that is why he's dressed in this manner. He's got very, very high fever. I'm trying to attend to him. This is the only bottle that I found on the shore, and I washed it, and now I'm trying to bring down his fever with this water. So the Shaykh said, you see, what you thought and what was reality. So therefore, always have good opinions with regards to the next believer. And this is from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we make shukr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted us to sit in these programs. And this is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not something that we mention customarily. But in reality, it is really a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more we count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the more we emphasize in our lives that everything that we have, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ, every single bounty that I have in my life, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is my qualifications, whether it is my wealth, whether it is my expertise, this is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why in every single salah, in every single rakat of every single salah, we commence our tilawat with Alhamdu lillahi rabbil alamin. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All bounties belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, tonight we have gathered, and the talk, inshallah, the intention is to focus on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And really, books upon books have been written regarding the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as our late Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi, used to say, that despite all the books that have been written, and despite all the talks that have been given, and despite all the poetry that has been written in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reality is that they have only scratched the surface. The life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sympathy, the kindness, the consideration, and as many adjectives as you wish to add. But it was found in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All praiseworthy qualities were found in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the reason why we study the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we talk about the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the real objective, what is it? Is it that we leave this gathering and we go home and we all start singing the praises of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we have the greatest Nabi, and our Nabi is the leader of all the Anbiya, and had it not been for our Nabi, this world would not have been created. Is that the objective? No, respected elders and brothers, there is something more. And that is, it should stir up and ignite within our hearts the love and the ishq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. True love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which seems to be missing. Today, it is very easy to praise Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to use our tongue and express our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But true love is that in our actions and in our lifestyle, we see that we are truly lovers of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you look at our youth, there are what such wonderful examples in this field. Perhaps we may not say wonderful examples, sad examples. That you'll find a youngster, a particular soccer star, a particular movie actor, actress for the girls. So that is his or her hero, a heroine. So now we'll find that youngster, he wants to dress like that soccer star. His hairstyle must be the same. His walking will be the same. Sometimes the talking will even be the same. He wants to be just like that person. He wants to follow him, he's following in his footsteps. Why? Because he loves that person. That person, he admires him. What an excellent player he is. How well he can dribble that plastic, that leather ball. How well he can kick the ball between the two poles. What a wonderful achievement. I mention sometimes to the students, I say that the person who is playing soccer, Alhamdulillah, with regards to playing the game, nothing wrong keeping fit. It's part of deen. Shariat encourages a person to keep fit. But for those people who are spectating, so now what are they really achieving? Now they are going mad for that person and said, this is my team, that is his team, and my team won your team. And we are sometimes fighting for one another. And sometimes we are even advertising for them. They don't pay us for it, but we even have it advertising for them. But what are they really doing? Is there a real benefit in that? And I always tell the students, and they find it very amusing. So more for the youngsters, that if a person is very good at mowing the grass, the lawn, he's experienced in mowing the grass, he's got a nice style of moving the lawn mower, so he's able to take the corners very well with the lawn mower. Now a few people have to gather and they have to now start admiring the manner in which this person cuts the grass. We'll still say, okay, they're admiring someone who is doing something beneficial. He's doing something beneficial. He's maintaining the grass. If he doesn't maintain the grass, then you're going to get snakes, you're going to get weeds, you may get mosquitoes in the yard. So he's admiring that person. It's still something beneficial. He's encouraging that person and is perhaps encouraging others to go into the field of cutting grass. But here we find thousands of people admiring a person who is able to kick a ball between two poles. So look at how, and that is why as Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah in one of his Jummah Bayans, he mentions, and he quotes, he said, "Alamatu i'radi al-abd al-rabbihi ishtighaluhu fima la ya'nihi." Something to that effect. That a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has turned his glance of mercy away from an individual. A sign that Allah ta'ala has turned his glance of mercy away from an individual is when you find that individual engrossing himself, occupying himself in that which is futile. He's occupying himself in something which is futile. There is no real benefit in it. A person will spend hours following a certain football team and following the scores. What benefit is there as far as his deen is concerned, as far as his akhirat is concerned? So respected elders and brothers, we have to now look into our lives. That are we really lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? So we find the youngsters now, that is their role model, that is their idol. They want to follow that person, they want to emulate him. Why? Because they love him. Or she loves that particular actress, so she wants to be like her. Now we claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why is it that in our lives we do not find that image of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives? So there's a real question mark respected. The reality is that our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is restricted, and I address myself. We are revising lessons, so whatever I am saying to you, it is more applicable to myself. That we claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but our love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is restricted to the tongue. As Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah, as you give the example of an individual who had a dog. So that dog was dying of starvation. The dog was dying of starvation, and this person had a basket on his head. And he was crying. He was crying because the dog was dying of starvation. Like you'll find today, many people, they are very, very attached to their pets. They've got a lot of love for their dogs, especially the disbelievers. Sometimes it's amazing. They give more attention and love to their dogs than they give to their own children. There was an incident recently. The mother had a bit of a tiff with her son, so she was not on good terms with the son. So when she died, she gave a larger chunk of her estate to her dog than her son. Larger chunk of her estate to her dog than her son. Hazrat Muhakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah was in England. So he said, whilst in England, he saw that a person was sitting in his very expensive vehicle, the non-believer, disbeliever. The passenger side, he had a dog. So this person was eating the toffee, and then he was giving the dog the toffee to eat. What has happened? That these people have abandoned the ghulami of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inhone Allah ta'ala ki ghulami ko chhod diya, to Allah ta'ala ne unko kutte ka ghulam bana diya. They have abandoned the servitude and the ghulamiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now made them the ghulams of dogs. They have become the ghulams of dogs. So, nevertheless, coming back to that example, this person now was crying, his dog was dying, starvation. So the person said that, what is wrong, what is happening, why are you crying? They said, no, this is my beloved dog. I love this dog very dearly. And this dog is dying of starvation. So the person said, now what do you have in this basket? He said, I've got some food in the basket. He said, whose food is it? It's my food. So why don't you give the dog the food? So he said, you see, the tears are free, but this food is not free. So this person, now the question is an example, but can we really say that this person loves that dog? And is not prepared to make that sacrifice. Unfortunately, this is our condition. We claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we are not prepared to make that sacrifices to show and display our love for Rasulullah. Sacrifices within our own lives. And inshallah we will give and cite a few examples. Now sometimes we have a certain understanding of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our minds. But remember, respected elders and brothers, for us to understand deen, and for us to understand sharia, so then we have to look at those people who were the first addressees of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba-i kiram, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed them, and they were ardent lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now if a person has to claim, and he has to say that, you know, I have got more love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, will any one of us accept it? We'll never ever accept it. How can a person ever claim to have more love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? He sacrificed everything for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sacrificed his wealth. He sacrificed his own comfort for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a person has to claim that he has got more love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, we would never accept it. As one person, one great wali of Allah, so he had a lot of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the thought crossed his mind that, you know, I think now I have got more love for Rasulullah. I've got so much of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that perhaps it may be even more than what the Sahaba-i-Kiram had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that night he saw in a dream that he was seated on an ox cart, and on that wagon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated. And on the four corners was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, the four Khulafai Rashideen were seated on this cart. And as this cart was moving, suddenly it became dislodged from those oxen. And as a result now, it started going totally in a different direction. It became very, very dangerous. So this particular friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he immediately said, why don't we all quickly jump off this wagon? Let's just jump off, we save our lives. We rather jump off now before something happens. In his dream, suddenly he sees, before he can do anything, immediately the four khalifs, the Khulafa'i Rashideen, immediately they hang over the wagon and the four wheels, they place their head onto the wheel to stop this wagon. It was a dream. When he woke up, he realized what was the interpretation of the dream. That when I was concerned, what was my concern about saving my own life? But when he came to the Sahaba-i-Kiram and the Khulafa-i Rashideen, what was their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They sacrificed and they were prepared to sacrifice their heads for Rasulullah. They were prepared to sacrifice their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are many examples of this nature. As Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, Sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent his slave to the marketplace and he said, go and purchase, I want you to purchase a horse. So the slave went to the marketplace and he purchased the horse and he brought the horse to this Sahabi. When the Sahabi saw the horse, he was very impressed. He said, this is a wonderful horse. How much did you pay for the horse? And he gave a certain amount. He said, you paid too little for this horse. This horse is worth much, much more. Had it been us, we would have said, MashaAllah, excellent deal. We did very well. But immediately he said that, go back to this person. Take me to this person. So the slave took the Sahabi to this person. And the Sahabi addressed the person that,
this horse that you sold me, are you happy with the price? He said, yeah, I'm satisfied with the amount that you have given me. He said, no, I think this horse is worth 200 coins more. So the person said, it's fine. He said, no, take 200 coins more for this horse. So the person is amazed, he accepted it. He said, but actually I think it should be even 200 coins more than that. And he gave him a further 200 coins. This person was amazed. Normally a person will try and cut it even further down, but here he's giving more. After this he asked him, but why are you doing this? He said, you see, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I pledged allegiance. I pledged allegiance on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An-nushu likulli mu'minin. That I will sincerely, amongst other things, I will sincerely wish well for every single mu'min. I will sincerely wish well for every single mu'min. And because I pledged allegiance, I made a promise to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore I felt that by me paying such a meager sum for such a wonderful horse, I was not sincerely wishing well for you. And therefore, because I pledge allegiance on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to sincerely wish well for every single believer, therefore I feel I should give you more, so that I fulfill this allegiance to the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was true loyalty for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One Sahabi was walking Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His eye fell on the ring that was on the finger of this particular Sahabi. It was a pure gold ring. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately grabbed this ring and threw it onto the ground. He said, don't you know that it is not permissible for men to wear gold? After Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved further, the colleagues, the other Sahaba ikram went to him. He said that, now why didn't you pick up that ring? You can use it for your sister, your daughter, your wife. You could perhaps sell it, get some money from it. You don't wear it. He said that which my Nabi has thrown one side, how dare I pick it up? How dare I pick up that which my Nabi has thrown? That was the love that they had. Once Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was walking through the streets of Madina Sharif, and whilst walking through the streets of Madina Sharif, his eye fell on a particular Sahabi's home. And now he had extended his home. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba Ikram, whose house is this? So he said, a particular Sahabi. So immediately Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expressed some kind of displeasure on his face, but he continued. Later that evening, when the Sahabi presented himself in the court of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we know that Sahaba Ikram would make an effort to daily be in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always to try and be in the suhbah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the companionship of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he greeted, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned his face away. Immediately the Sahabi became disturbed. He became concerned that my Nabi has turned his face away, something is wrong. So he inquired from the other Sahaba Ikram that, has something happened? Is Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam upset with me? I said, nothing really. The only thing that today we noticed is Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's gaze fell on your home and he turned his gaze away. We noticed he may have been slightly displeased. Perhaps this Sahabi had elaborately extended his home without a need. So immediately the Sahabi returns home and demolishes that entire extension. Other Sahaba Ikram went to him and said, why don't you explain to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam why you extended your home? He said, no. My Nabi has expressed displeasure. How can I then, be pleased and be satisfied with the displeasure of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? I'd rather demolish the home and then give explanation than going forward and justifying myself. This was the loyalty of the Sahaba Ikram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a fraction of the love that the Sahaba Ikram had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So respected elders and brothers, this month of Rabiul Awwal, it is a month in which many celebrate the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if you look at Sahaba Ikram, they also celebrated the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did they celebrate the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They celebrated the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within their own lives. They displayed the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in one of his programs, he mentioned that if we illuminate our hearts, what a beautiful thing he said. He said, if we illuminate our hearts with the teachings, with the sunnah, the practices of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then there will be no need to put bulbs and lights outside. If a person illuminates his heart with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there will be no need for lights outside. Because the light will come within. Then the person will be attracted to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The person will be attracted to deen. The person will be attracted to sharia. One Jewish person, he walked into the shop of a sahabi to purchase a particular item. So when he entered the shop, the sahabi told him that, look, I've got this particular commodity, but why don't you go across the road and purchase it from that person? So this Jewish person, he said, well, fine, if you want me to purchase it, there's no problem at all. So he went across the road and he purchased it, only to realize that the shop across the road belonged to a Jewish person. So he was a bit confused. Perhaps I would have thought it would have been a fellow sahabi or a fellow Muslim, but here he had sent me to a Jewish person. So he comes back to that sahabi and he says that, fine, I purchased the item, but why did you send me across the road when you had that commodity yourself? He said, you see, today I have been very busy. Customers have been streaming in, streaming out. I've got sufficient already for the day. When I go home, I will be able to buy something for my family. I will be able to feed my children. But I've noticed from the morning that the shop across the road belonged to the Jewish person. Hardly any customers have gone in. Today when he goes home, he may not be able to feed his wife and his children. And therefore I felt that you rather go there and support the person so that he can go home and feed his wife and his children. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. This is the akhlaq of Rasulullah ﷺ. That Jewish person, inevitably, there and then he recited the shahadat. He said, if this is Islam, then I want to become a Muslim. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, more than anything else, more than what we write and more than the speeches, is the practical implementation of the life of Rasulullah ﷺ within our own lives that attract people towards deen and Islam. Today we find a person, he very often you hear this, you know, I'd rather work for a non-Muslim than a Muslim person. Haven't we heard this? I'd rather work for a non-Muslim person than a Muslim person. One person mentioned to me that the wife was very, very sick. I needed to take the wife to the doctor, hospital, whatever it was. But the boss said, you know what? What happens in your house, your wife's got nothing to do with me. You are employed, you need to work. So, now, this is the akhlaq. And sadly, there's a Muslim person. This is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the sympathy and consideration that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed. The hadith which we narrated in the introduction, narrated by Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, it was that sahabi that at the age of 10 years old, his mother presented him in the khidmah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for 10 years he served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him, that Allah grant him a long life, grant him blessings in his wealth, grant him blessings with regards to his children. So he lived for over 100 years. And he says that, I have already buried 100 of my children and grandchildren with my own hands. Allah Ta'ala fulfilled his dua, the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I have seen the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being fulfilled in my life. And there's one other dua that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made for me, that Allah forgive Anas ibn Malik. I also have hope that inshallah that dua will also be accepted. So his mother had given him, entrusted him in the khidmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in one hadith he mentions, he said, I served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. I was in the khidmah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. But in that period of 10 years, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not once rebuke me. Not once did he ever say uff to me. Not once did he ever reprimand me. So this was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the real celebration of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within our own lives. So in the ayat al-kareema which we have mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is His bounty and it is favor. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعْثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that indeed Allah has been very, very kind upon you, that Allah has raised from amongst you the Nabi of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why once it was mentioned that each and every one of us who are seated here, without any application, without any request, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us to be from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had Allah ta'ala wanted, He could have made us from the ummah of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He could have made us from the ummah of Isa, Musa, one alayhi salam, one of these anbiya. But Allah ta'ala selected us and has chosen us to be from the ummah of the greatest Nabi, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this is. It is mentioned that every single Nabi made a request that, Ya Allah, let us be from amongst the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, it was only the dua of Isa alayhi salam that was accepted. And he will be raised again as a ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is such a bounty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only out of His karam and His fazl has blessed us with this bounty to be amongst the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unlike the other anbiya, who of course were great and chosen and selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a cut above the rest. He had so much of love and sympathy for his ummah. So much of concern for his ummah. That in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares the concern that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for his ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. That a Nabi has come from amongst you. Mufassirin mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came amongst the humankind. He was not from amongst the angels. Because if the Nabi was a farishta, an angel, then we would have had a very convenient excuse. We would have had a very convenient excuse. We would have said, you see, he is a farishta, he is an angel, he doesn't have desires. So it is very easy for him to practice deen. It is very easy for him to stay away from guna and sins and temptations. We are human beings. We have got desires, we have got temptations. And therefore, it's difficult for us to follow him. So Allah made it such that the Nabi was from amongst you. He had inclination that you have. He had weaknesses or he had needs as you have. He needed to eat. He needed to rest. Of course, he was not exactly like us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him certain qualities which were unique. And that is a separate topic on its own. The saliva of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was shifa and there was cure in the saliva of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hair mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Up till this day, those individuals who have the authentic hair of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will tell you that up till now that hair emits a fragrance. It emits a fragrance up to this day. The hair mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many incidents that Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he would attach the hair mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within his turban. Once in one particular battle, in the midst of the battle, they noticed Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he was on the ground searching frantically for something. He said, what is happening? The battle is very, very furious and fierce. Now you are on the floor, what has happened? He said, I'm searching for that hair mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is due to the barakat of that hair that I find that I get victory in every single battle. So that was the mu'jiza of the hair mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regards to the perspiration of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was not like our perspiration. Umm Sulaim used to collect the perspiration of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she would mix it with her fragrances and it would turn out to become the most fragrant of scents in her town. That was again the mu'jiza of the fragrance and the perspiration of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa was a human being, but unlike us, he had some unique qualities. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that he was a human being. He married, he had children, he had the difficulties that we have to go through. He had to persevere, he had to make sabr, he had to take that pain on his heart.
That is why in the one verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا.
That in the Nabi of Allah, there is an excellent example for you. That particular verse was revealed during the battle of Ahzab, when all the disbelievers had formed a powerful coalition to completely annihilate the Muslims. Once and for all, we're going to destroy and annihilate this Islam. And they gathered, and with the intention of destroying Islam. And at that time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hunger that he went through, Sahaba ikram came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining about hunger. They raised their garments, and they showed that stones had been attached to their bellies. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his garment and displayed two stones that were attached to it. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite all the challenges, he persevered. He persevered and he went through all the difficulty. And in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him victory. So in that verse, Mufassirin mentioned that if only the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, if they had to follow and emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would have gained salvation and they would have realized that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a true role model. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ. That those believers, those mu'mineen who have got certain qualities, they do not have hypocrisy. What are the qualities that they have? يَرْجُ اللَّهِ. They have hope that they are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know they're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. We have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to account before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our actions and our deeds. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. And there will be a day of reckoning. Every single action that I do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me. I will have to give account. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught a dua to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And we should all try and make this dua. He taught her the dua, اللَّهُمَّ حَاسِبْنِي حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. اللهم حاسبني حسابا يسيرا. Allah give me an easy reckoning. And what is that easy reckoning? Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will merely tell the person, go through. Without even going through his book of deeds. Continue. We have the customs. Sometimes the person just goes through the green light. They don't check the bags at all. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because من نوقش عذبا. The person whose book of deeds is scrutinized, most certainly he will be punished. Most certainly he will be punished. So we should always make this dua that Ya Allah, just let us go through. Allahumma hasibna hisaba yasira. Allah, give us an easy reckoning. We just continue right through. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us Aisha radiallahu anha this dua. Allahumma hasibni hisaba yasira. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ. So, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. One more quality that a true believer will have is that he will remember Allah Ta'ala abundantly. For those mu'mineen who have these qualities, then Nabi Kareem Sa'asim will be an excellent role model for them. And therefore we shall all make an effort to have these qualities within our lives. Making the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala constantly, consistently, always remembering Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Always being aware which command of Allah Ta'ala is focused upon me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions once again that Allah blessed us with a Nabi whose quality is such, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ. Whatever difficulty afflicts you, it distresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember that when we study the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should make an intention that Ya Allah, give me the himmat and the courage to bring those wonderful qualities into my life. That I must become a representative of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Person asks you, why are you doing this? I'm doing this because my Nabi is a wonderful person. So we must become wonderful representatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, azizun alayhim, when a sahabi was afflicted with any difficulty, it caused pain to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we find that society has become such. It has become a very individualistic society. It's me, myself and I. To such an extent that you'll find that a parent will tell his children, once they reach a certain age, now you need to move on. I don't have much time for you.
The grandparents also will tell the children, as far as the grandchildren are concerned, you come visit now and again, but more than that, I don't want you to intrude into my life. I need to have my space. Of course, it doesn't mean that the children should take advantage of the parents and make the grandparents the babysitters. Then that too is not correct. But today, we find that it has become such, that each person is only concerned about his own self, and the moment he finds there's some intrusion, I'm not prepared to take this on. Whereas Islam promotes a society where we put ourselves last. We put ourselves last and we put everyone else first. That my rights of my parents, the rights of my children, the rights of my brothers and sisters, the rights of my wife, as Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib beautifully used to say, do not go by the book of my rights. Do not go by the book of my rights, go by the book of love, ihsan and khidmat. Give love to each person. Give love, you will get love. And this is something we find also from the life of Rasulullah SAW. He was always giving of love. He was giving love. And that is why Sahaba Ikram loved Rasulullah SAW so much that one person mentioned, one mushrik mentioned at the time of the conquest of Makkah, or near that time, he went out and he started watching the Sahaba Ikram around Rasulullah SAW. And he mentions it, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَحَبَّ أَحَدٍ كَحُبِّ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ مُحَمَّدًا أو كما قال. He says, I have never seen anyone love an individual like how the companions of Muhammad love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make wudu, the Sahaba ikram would not even allow that water to reach the ground. If Nabi Kareem SAW cleaned his nose, Sahaba Ikram would not even allow that moisture to reach the ground. That is the kind of love that they had for Rasulullah SAW. One Sahabi, we may find it amazing, that he was asked and requested by Nabi Kareem SAW to do cupping. So while doing the cupping of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that time they used to use a horn, so they used to extract that blood which was impure, and we know Nabi Kareem Sahasam was poisoned, and due to the effect of the poison, Nabi Kareem Sahasam used to constantly do that cupping to remove the effects of that poison. So Nabi Kareem Sahasam asked him to do the cupping. Now that blood which was extracted, so Nabi Kareem Sahasam told the Sahabi that you dispose of it. Now this Sahabi, he went and he thought to himself, I have got the Mubarak blood of Rasulullah Sahasam. I've got the Mubarak blood of Rasulullah SAW. Where can I put it? So he thought to himself, the best place to put the Mubarak blood of Rasulullah SAW is within my own body. So he drank the blood of Rasulullah SAW. Of course, to do such a thing, we cannot do it to our mashayikh, but the Nabi of Allah was something else. He returned in the majlis of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was inspired by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What did you do with that blood? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I disposed of it. So he again asked him, what did you? He said, Ya Rasulullah, what happened was your blood. I thought to myself now, where can I put the blood of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, such Mubarak, pure blood. So I thought the best place is to put it within my body. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remained silent and then said that that person who has got the blood of a Nabi, of the Nabi in his body, the fire of Jahannam is haram upon him. The fire of Jahannam is haram upon him. So, this was the love again, once again, that the Sahaba Ikram had for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Such love. So he says, I've never seen anyone loving someone like how the companions love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what is the reason? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala himself mentioned the reason. That, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَكُمْ فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. This out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just of the ayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Nabi Kareem Sasam a kind heart, a compassionate heart, a loving heart, a caring heart, a heart that was full of sympathy, concern, and consideration for others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ. Had you been harsh, had you been hard-hearted, the companions would have dispersed from you. They would have dispersed from you. But because Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a heart which was full of love,
which was full of kindness. And this is the unique thing. One person mentioned that he had gone for a seminar in which they were giving training with regards to becoming a leadership qualities. Non-Muslims. So they say, who is a true leader? A true leader is that person who can create other leaders. He can create leaders himself. That is a true leader. Now let us study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was such a leader that he created leaders from people who were regarded as worse than animals. They were regarded as worse than animals. If a person comes in the company of an alim, a sheikh, and he changes his life, so we say, mashallah, that alim has influenced his life, he has changed him. Or perhaps he may have had certain qualities, he may have not been performing his salah, and now he's come on salah. But if we say a person was a drug addict, and he came into the company of the sheikh, and he changed his life, we'll become more impressed. We'll become more astounded. We'll say the sheikh really has got, he's very influential. Now here we find sahaba, ikram, prior to the nubuwwah of Nabi Kareem Sahasam, they were so hard. They were so harsh that they buried their daughters alive. That is up till now, if we consider that and think about it. Now what kind of hearts they had? That they buried their daughters alive. But yet, when Nabi Kareem Sahasam worked on him, and his heart was radiating that nur, radiating that love, then such a transformation took place that when Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu became shaheed, he became shaheed in a particular battle, he left behind some children, and one amongst his children was a daughter. It is recorded that the family members, the relatives, whether it was the uncle, whether it was the brother, whether it was whoever else, they were fighting to take their daughter. No, I want this girl. This little girl, I want to take. I want to look after. So at that time, Nabi Kareem Sahasam looked at this, became pleased. Said, Alhamdulillah, at one time these people were prepared to bury their daughters alive. Now they are fighting to look after their daughters. This is the teaching of Islam. Those people who project that image that Islam has usurped the rights of women and Islam does not give any consideration to women. Then the truth of the matter is that Islam considers women more than any other deen or religion. You see, we must understand that this deen of Islam is not man-made. And if we're going to try and understand the deen of Islam with our intellect, which has been created by the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is impossible for us to really understand it. The laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. This is where we are faltering. That we are trying to understand and use our logic to understand deen and Islam. There is some place for logic, but there are certain things that are beyond our understanding, beyond our intellect. As far as the laws and why this person has to be given this inheritance and what is the position of woman in Islam. So we try and understand it with our intellect. And this is why you find so many individuals who go to university, they become professors. So now they reach a stage where they feel that now there is nothing beyond our understanding. We have worked on our intelligence and our intellect to such an extent that we can understand anything. And now when they fail to understand the complexities of the universe, and they fail to understand the complexities of the laws of Sharia, then what happens? They reject it. They reject it. It is like the example of the person who takes a scale that the jeweler uses. He takes that scale and he tries to weigh the elephants of Kruger National Park. It's beyond the capacity of that scale. The same way we try to use our intellect, which is limited, to understand the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are beyond our understanding, then what is going to happen? Sometimes we can even lose our iman. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kindness, the sympathy, the compassion that he had, this is something that we need to bring into our own lives. And these are the sacrifices that we need to make. Generally, in these seerah programs, discussions are centered around the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these were his miracles that he performed. But what about the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What about the sacrifices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What about the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered his home, how did he enter his home? Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, look at the, how she praised Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, look at how she praised Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Maynus Patel sahab rahmatullahi mentioned that one woman, after her husband passed away, so she mentioned that, you know, I was actually within my heart celebrating that my husband died. Celebrating. Because of his akhlaq. Today we find that this is our akhlaq. The person in the masjid, mashallah, you see the person, he will really be fooled and you will think that he is probably Junaid Baghdadi of the time. So humble, so considerate, making salam with so much of softness. But funny enough, the person in the home is a totally different image and picture. Not every single person. But many a time you'll find a person within his home that is a total different. There's a contrast. Whereas it's supposed to be the other way around. That when in the home there's even more kind and soft. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq first. That consideration in that famous hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Laylatul Bara'a, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam woke up, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he got up and he got up very, very silently. He wore his shoes very, very silently. He opened the door and he wore his clothes very, very, very silently. Thinking that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was sleeping, so considering her, that I must not disturb her sleep. Consideration for the wife. Today we find that that is missing. This is also the sunnah of Rasulullah s.a.w. This is also the sunnah of Rasulullah s.a.w. Honesty in our business. That when we realize that there is a defect in the item, immediately, Nabi Kareem s.a.w. said, "Man ghashana falaysa minna." He who deceives us is not from amongst us. So immediately when a person realizes that there is some defect in this item, so he makes it known, this is the defect, this is the price I'm looking for, it is up to you. So we make known the defect of that item. Honesty, consideration, kindness, generosity, sympathy. Then there is also the sunnah of Rasulullah s.a.w. in our salah. That the concentration and devotion that Nabi Kareem s.a.w. had in his salah, we need to ensure that we have it in our own lives. So in this month of Rabiul Awwal, as Sahaba-i-Kiram made sacrifices, they sacrificed their lives in the battle of Uhud, subhanallah. Hazrat Wala mentions, Uhud ke shaheedo ke khune wafa se, sabak le ke paband dastur rahunga. He said that I will take lesson from the blood of the martyrs of Uhud. The Sahaba-i-Kiram, they sacrificed their blood, they sacrificed their lives for Rasulullah s.a.w. What lesson will I take? A lesson of loyalty towards Islam, a lesson of loyalty towards Rasulullah s.a.w. One Sahabi in the battle of Uhud, so he was taking the arrows on his chest, arrows which were aimed at Rasulullah s.a.w. He was taking it on his chest. But then he thought to himself, that how can I face my back to Rasulullah s.a.w.? So he turned around and he began taking the arrows on his back until his life was taken. One Sahabi, as he was seeing the arrows coming, he was putting his hand and catching the arrows with his hand until eventually he became paralyzed in that hand. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, when the rings of the helmet became embedded in the jaw of Rasulullah s.a.w., so he pulled those rings out with his teeth and as a result he lost both his teeth. So that Sahabi gave his life for Rasulullah s.a.w. That Sahabi sacrificed his hand for Rasulullah s.a.w. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu sacrificed his teeth for Rasulullah s.a.w. Respected elders and brothers, we are not being asked to sacrifice these things. What we are asked to sacrifice is our egos. And sometimes a person, you ask him that, why are you not growing the beard? That this is the garden of Rasulullah s.a.w. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when those mushrikeen, the ambassadors from Rome or Persia, when they came into the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they were clean shaven. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away from them and asked, who asked you to do this to your face? Why have you disfigured your face in this manner? They said that our ruler, well, this is customary in his court and this is how we all keep ourselves in his court, and he has instructed us and encouraged us to do this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Walakin amarani Rabbi," but my Rabb has commanded me to lengthen my beard and shorten my moustache. As Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that imagine Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expressed displeasure. He expressed disappointment when a disbeliever, when an idol worshipper kept his face in this manner. Can you imagine, respected elders and brothers, so many people are going for Umrah. They are presenting themselves in front of the Rawdah-e Mubarak of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it is our aqeedah that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is alive in his grave. And they are reciting As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is witnessing their salam and giving jawab to that salam. And there are many incidents where people have witnessed the reply of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They have heard the reply of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Can you imagine what pain it is causing to the sensitive heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he sees that this is my ummati. This is a person who claims to love me. But he is ashamed. He is ashamed to display my sunnah on his face. That is why one poet says, agar daadi ke rakh lene se, agar daadi ke rakh lene se chehra bannuma lagta, to phir daadi mere sarkar ki sunnat no hote. He says, oh friend, if the keeping of the beard was something that disfigured your face, it was something that would create a blemish and a defect on your face, then, oh friend, the beard would never have been the sunnat of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Would Allah Ta'ala have allowed a blemish and a defect to be on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So therefore, respected elders and brothers, this is the sacrifice that we need to make. Yes, people will laugh. One person came to Hazrat Tanvir Rahmatullah, he said, Hazrat, you see, I don't want to keep beard because the family will laugh. They will laugh at me. Wife will laugh at me. This one will laugh at me. He said, brother, let them laugh now so that on the day of Qiyamah you don't have to cry. Rather, let them laugh in this world so that on the day of Qiyamah you don't have to cry. You rather take that pain in this world, but on the day of Qiyamah you will be smiling. At least you can say, Tere mahbub ki ya Rab, surat leke aaya hu. Haqeeqat is ko tu kar de, main surat leke aaya hu. Something to that effect, that, oh Allah, I have kept the external features of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, you put the haqeeqat. It is mentioned in the incident of Musa alayhi salam, that those magicians, on the day of that contest, where they were going to display their magic, and Musa alayhi salam was going to put down his miracle and ma'jiza. So to mock Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, what they did was they dressed in his garb. Exactly as he dressed, they dressed. Mufassirin mentioned that Allah gave them hidayat, and one of the reasons why Allah gave them hidayat, that Allah Ta'ala looked at them and said that they have resembled my mahbub. They have resembled my mahbub, and therefore I'm going to also make them from amongst my mahbub. So we can say, Ya Allah, I have resembled your mahbub. I'm making an effort to become like your mahbub, but Ya Allah, I have the external. And both are important, the external and the internal. Some people say that, you know, the main thing is the internal. My heart is clean. One person mentioned that, he said, you see, the manager said he performed the salah, he was not dressed appropriately. So the person went forward, and he shouldn't have done that, but he went forward and said, not right, you read salah in this way. So that person said, the main thing, my heart is clean. They said, shouldn't have told him that in the first place. But the answer to that is that you ask that same manager that tomorrow if he's looking for another manager in his shop, for some reason he needs to cut down on his hours, he wants to have somebody to support him. So now he puts out a thing for manager to come. And the person comes forward, sends his CV in. He's got all the qualifications. He's got everything there, the qualifications are there, he's got the experience. But when he comes for the, when he comes forward for the actual survey or whatever you call it, interview rather, when he comes for the interview, so then at that time he's dressed like a beggar. His hair is disheveled, he's got torn shoes, torn clothing, he doesn't look at all, he looks like a hobo. Now honestly speaking, you ask that manager, will he employ such a person? Honestly, will he employ such a person? He won't take a chance. See, although he's got the qualifications, there's a possibility this person may be on drugs. There's a possibility this person does not, something's gone wrong.
Perhaps mentally there may be some defect. I won't take a chance. Why? Because the external, internal is not conforming. So we understand that when it comes to dunya, what about deen? That we need to make sure that we internalizing our deen and we externalizing our deen. Externally we are displaying deen and internally we are displaying our deen. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dukhulu fi silmi kafa. Enter deen in totality. And this is an effort we have to continuously make. Nobody can say they are perfect. But we all have to make an effort to reach that perfection. We have to continuously make that effort. Just in this, in our businesses, we're always trying to improve. You look at the car manufacturers, you look at any field, whether manufacturing, whether it's the medical field, whether it's the building field, whether it's the architectural field, whether it's the engineering field, they're always making an effort to improve. There's always research that's ongoing, new research, new inventions. They want to continuously improve. So we should be the same. That when it comes to our lives and our deen, we must continuously improve. We need to research our own lives. That this is new research that I've discovered within my own life. These are the new weaknesses that I've discovered within my own life. I now need to improve. Our lives, respected elders and brothers, are melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day. And therefore we need to make a concerted effort to bring into our lives the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best example. And when we bring within our lives the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we are actually going on the road towards Jannah. Naqsh qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. Hazrat Wala Shaki Muhammad Afzal Sahab nawarallahu marqadahu says that in the footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, naqsh qadam nabi ke hai Jannat ke raaste. These are the pathways towards Jannah. The footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually the pathway towards Jannah. Every single sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every single new way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we introduce into our life, it's one more step towards Jannah. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. This pathway of sunnat, it links you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is substantiated by the ayat of Quran Sharif, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. That say, O Nabi of Allah, tell the believers, if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then emulate me, follow my way of life, follow my sunnah. What will happen? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah will love you, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. And Allah not only will love you, but Allah will forgive your sins. So respected elders and brothers, in this month of Rabiul Awwal, a resolution which we can make. And our celebration of the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be this, that I'm going to celebrate the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam within my own life. That every single day I will be celebrating a new sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will be introducing one more sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into my life. This is how I will celebrate the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change the condition of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Give the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the realization that they have got the best role model in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and make them realize that there can be no better way, there can be no better example than the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله، وصل وسلم على محمد كما أنت أهله، وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله، فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. يا حي يا قيوم، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا راحم الضعفاء والمساكين، وكريم الله رحيم الله، most forgiving, most loving, most caring Allah. Ya Allah, we have raised our begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. We have spoken about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, only out of your fazl and karam, Ya Allah, you have selected us to be amongst the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allah, what a great bounty and ni'mat this is, Ya Allah. We have not realized what a great bounty and ni'mat this is, Ya Allah. Give us a realization, Ya Allah, that this is such a great ni'mat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has so much of love for his ummatis, Ya Allah. Even in this world, Ya Allah, he would constantly cry and cry for his ummat, Ya Allah. He sacrificed his life for his ummat, Ya Allah. He sacrificed his comforts for his ummat, Ya Allah. He sacrificed his blood for the sake of his ummat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, entire nights, Ya Allah, he would spend tearing and crying for his ummat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, so much of compassion and love he had for his ummat. Ya Allah, even on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, when every other Nabi will be saying, Ya Rabbi, Nafsi, Nafsi. Ya Allah, our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be saying, Ya Rabbi, Ummati, Ummati. Ya Allah, his fikr and concern will be his ummat. Ya Allah, you and I, Ya Allah, we he will be concerned with, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, give us, Ya Allah, the appreciation, Ya Allah, for the tears of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Give us the appreciation for the sacrifices of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, give us, Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, hamare dilon ke andar, Ya Allah, ishq nabi dal de, Ya Allah. Haqeeqi ishq dal de, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Allah. That, Ya Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Allah, must become more beloved to us, Ya Allah, than our parents, our children, Ya Allah, and entire creation, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, for after all, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sacrificed so much for us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let us become, Ya Allah, true representatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive our major sins, minor sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our weaknesses and shortcomings, Ya Allah, in emulating the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Allah. Change the condition of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, that ummah, Ya Allah, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam left, Ya Allah, and sacrificed so much for, Ya Allah. That ummah today, Ya Allah, enjoys no dignity and honor in the world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam are being slaughtered, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they have got no more respect, Ya Allah, and honor and dignity, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this is because, Ya Allah, we have become ashamed of the ways of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is because of our guna and sins, Ya Allah, that the entire ummah is suffering, Ya Allah. Forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, I'm gunahgar, siyakar, badkar, mujrim, khatakar. Ya Allah, but it is not difficult for you to change our condition and to change the condition of the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, consider the tears of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his ummah, Ya Allah. Change the condition of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa kamil, ajil, mustamir, daim. Those who are going through financial difficulties, Ya Allah, grant them plenty full of halal risk and sustenance, Ya Allah. Those who are looking for marriage partners, Ya Allah, bless them with pious, compatible partners, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are well away, Ya Allah. All the good desires, aspirations, Ya Allah, that is in the hearts of each and everyone who's raised their hands, Ya Allah. Fulfill all the good desires, aspirations, Ya Allah. Whatever difficulty, pain, suffering, Ya Allah, sickness, anyone is going through, has raised their hands, Ya Allah. Allah, Mahazab ni Kareemi, Rahimi say, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant them alleviation, Ya Allah, salvation, Ya Allah. Remove the difficulty, pain, suffering, hardship, Ya Allah. Bifadlika wa judika wa karamika, Ya Akram al-Akramin. Allahumma inna nasaluka min kulli khair. Ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habiyuka Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min kulli shar. Ma sta'ala minhu nabiyuka wa habiyuka Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balag. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.